of the NBC Universal News Group, Cesar Conde, who we both know very well. He sent a memo that we all got as employees here, rescinding the hiring of Ronna Romney McDaniel. And I know I felt very strongly about it. I know you felt very strongly about it. I think everyone from 4 o'clock on, from Nicole all the way to midnight, we all felt very strongly and said so on our respective shows yesterday. And I just have to say, when somebody does the right thing, I feel like it should be acknowledged as publicly as we acknowledged our outrage. And so I know how I feel about it. I am grateful to Cesar for actually making the right decision. I think it was the right decision, but I want to get your take as well.
Oh, well, thank you for asking me about it. I still feel like a little, it always feels wrong to talk about things, you know, in the company as if it's news. And I, you know, it's just this, it's not the way either you or I are wired. I know, but I will just say that journalists are a fractious bunch, and in our big company with all sorts of different journalistic entities, you have all sorts of different people working in this business, doing all sorts of different kinds of work, and to see the essentially unanimous feeling among all the journalists in this building and all the sort of senior staff and all the producers and everybody in this building about this was one thing. But then to see the executives and the leadership hear that and respond to it and be willing to change course based on it, based on their respect for us and hearing what we argued, I have deep respect for that. I mean what I said on the air last night on my show, that I think that acknowledging that you might have gotten something wrong is a real sign of strength, a real show of strength. And I think it's a show of strength, and I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company and who make us who we are, that leadership is willing to change on this. And I'm grateful to them. You know, it's not about hiring a Republican. It's not even about hiring somebody who has Trump ties. This was a really specific case because of Ms. McDaniel's and her involvement in the election interference stuff. And I'm grateful that our leadership was willing to do the bold, strong, resilient thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be using her name because she's a witness in the Michigan electors case. I mean, it's like it's less awkward to have to say, and by the way, this person works for NBC News. Right. We're glad we don't have to do that.
Project Syndicate, and it's entitled America's Year of Living Dangerously. And you write in part, quote, the near future consists of three distinct phases, each with its own challenges and dangers. The first phase, already underway and will continue through Election Day, November 5th. The problem is already in plain sight. With politics taking priority over policy, it has become nearly impossible to enact important legislation. The second distinct set of challenges will follow Election Day, the peaceful transfer of power. A hallmark of the American system can no longer be assumed. The 75-day window between election and inauguration could well become the most perilous phase of a dangerous year. And the third and final challenge will begin early next year on Inauguration Day. If Biden is reelected, much will depend on whether his election is accepted by Trump supporters and on which party controls the Senate and the House. And Richard, I guess I don't know, it's probably close, but what worries you the most about these three phases that you say are fraught with danger?
What worries me the most, Meek, is the 75-day phase between Election Day and Inauguration Day. Now, you know, before the election, after the inauguration, the real challenge is dysfunction. But I'm worried about potential for real constitutional and political crisis and violence if we have a situation where the election isn't accepted, where there's challenges to the Electoral College. That's what we saw January 6th. I think it's possible that we could see a reprise of it, and we should worry about that. Again, one of the basic norms in American history that used to be defining to us, the peaceful transfer of power, we can no longer assume it. And if there's a close election that Joe Biden wins, you know and I know it will be challenged, not just in the Congress, but potentially in the streets.
Yeah, it's why when someone, you know, brushes off January 6th as nothing, that's just a line, you know, it's a line that's being crossed in our country.
Kind of the obvious question, while Republicans want to talk about ridiculous things like trying to bring DEI and race into it, The regulation, though, when I saw this morning and saw the live stream that was up, I wonder about the federal regulation aspect of it. Republicans tend to hate regulation, but this seems like a textbook place where regulation is needed, right? Is that something that you discussed with Secretary Buttigieg or that you want to discuss with the administration? Because regulation is what keeps large ships from being in the vicinity of vulnerable infrastructure, such that things like this could happen.
You're absolutely right, Joy. This whole notion is being revisited. Most people would say, technically, that there were plenty of regulations in place. These ships are brought down the bay with a, quote, pilot who has to go through 7 years of training before they can guide ships out by directing the captain or the navigator of the ship. And there were, at some point, tugboats moving the ship initially out of the harbor. But even Secretary Buttigieg will tell you that you can never have enough regulations when human life and property is at risk. And in this instance, where the vital lifeline, economic lifeline of an entire state is at risk.
Trump is also clearly showing some anxiety about the state of this campaign. He was on Truth Social early this morning. I note 1:52 a.m. a post from Donald Trump attacking Robert F. Kennedy Jr., suggesting that he's very liberal and they're clearly concerned that RFK Jr. may draw some support from Trump himself. He also, as you write in your new piece for MSNBC, has made little to no effort to actually unify the Republican Party. He was rebuked by his former vice president, Mike Pence. And we recall that when Nikki Haley dropped out of the race earlier this month, she implored him, make the party a bigger tent. Try to support, to court my supporters, even suggesting she herself might come along. But he has made zero effort to do so.
No, and I don't think that he necessarily will, given his demeanor. And, you know, I mean, you know, the caveat here is, of course, you know, we've all seen the polls. We know how the Republican grassroots is rallying around Donald Trump, that he has complete control over the party and the RNC. But I do think it is notable when you look at the number of United States senators now who are saying that they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. You have Lisa Murkowski being the latest. You have Todd Young, Bill Cassidy, Mike Rounds declined to say that he was going to vote for him. And then you add in Mitt Romney. And one of the questions I think people, you know, should ponder for a moment. I mean, imagine if this was the Democratic Party, if this many members of the U.S. Senate were saying, yeah, well, you know, we're not going to support Joe Biden's bid for reelection. But the larger frame, though, is you look at the fact that I don't know in American history when this many leading members of the party, including his former vice president, including his former chiefs of staff, have come out publicly and said, we work with him, we've seen him up close, and we're not supporting him again. As far as I can tell, the only living Republican nominee for president or vice president in this century that is supporting Donald Trump is Sarah Palin. Everybody else is out, whether you're talking about Dick Cheney, whether you're talking about George Bush, whether you're talking about Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan. None of them have lined up. I don't think there's any parallel in American history. So while on one level, Donald Trump has complete control of the Republican Party, there are these cracks, and the Biden campaign is beginning to exploit this.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. President's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Wednesday, 27 March, year of our Lord, 2024. As things are heating up on every front right there. MSNBC, of course, always saying the quiet part out loud. Charlie Sykes talking about how the establishment, the uniparty establishment, not coming together around Trump. Of course they're not coming around Trump. They're working against Trump, and they're going to work for and support Joe Biden. There's no doubt about that. Another piece I haven't gotten up yet, a couple of pieces out saying how Democrats, and that would be working class Democrats, are starting to warm to the Trump message, particularly about being a disruptor. They think this system has to be disrupted. So you're seeing actual working class and middle class folks that have had, are tired of this, of tired of the destruction of their country, are starting to come to the Trump message. Why the elites are all binding together. And remember, all the Republicans, look at they named George Bush, Dick Cheney, Paul Ryan. I mean, come on, you know, Nikki, neocon Nikki. So Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, Dick Cheney, George Bush, the last two sets of have been thoroughly rejected by the MAGA base and by the new Republican Party for 8 years now, right? Since 2015, 2016, the primaries have been rejected. They're never going to give it up. They're never going to give it up. Charlie Sykes just lays it out right there. On the other hand, working people are starting to come to Trump. Why? Because of the threefold crises that are converging. The invasion on the southern border. The invasion on the southern border. The out-of-control federal spending that's leading to this massive debt that is now blowing back into people's lives because of higher interest rates, higher food costs, their lived experience. This is all lived experience. The lived experience of the invasion of the southern border for working class and middle class people, and the financial crisis that Wall Street just continue wants to kick the can down the road and not address. Those two converging points. Plus, you got the geopolitical beginning of the kinetic Third World War on the rim of Eurasian landmass. And according to, you know, the same uniparty House members, what's the number one priority coming back from this Easter and Holy Week recess? It's Ukraine. They got to get Ukraine through there. Got to get Ukraine through there. So they're going to be relentless. They're absolutely going to be relentless. And the lawfare is collapsing around them. They've got one shot, they feel now. They think they got one shot, and that shot is the one that they didn't want to take because it's the most outrageous and stupid of all. And they fielded their worst team to do it. Bragg in the clown show up in New York City, but they got Matthew Colangelo, and the judge came out yesterday and put a gag order on Trump. Well, you can gag Trump all you want, but you're not going to gag War Room. You're not going to gag. We're the ones that came up with this. Matthew Colangelo. It's a hard wire. There's a hard wire between the Obama apparatus through the White House and this takedown Trump. And hey, this ain't me saying it. This is not little old War Room. This is the paper of record of our beloved Republic, the New York Times today, blockbuster story, Katie Rogers. Good going, Katie. Katie Rogers has a blockbuster story. Guess what? Obama's running the deal. This is not War Room or Gateway Pundit. Revolver didn't come up with this. Matt Boyle didn't break it. It's the New York Times. The New York frickin' Times puts it all out there. It's Obama, and how Obama's, you know, never really been a fan of Biden's, but he's got to save the transformation of this country. If he called it, this is all Obama's deal. Jack Posobiec and these guys have said for years, Obama's running the deal. These guys are right here running the deal. Katie Rogers puts it right out. Obama is directly calling staffers in the White House. I want you to think about that. Obama is directly, according to the New York Times, Katie Rogers, he's directly calling folks in the White House, kind of giving them orders. Say, hey, how's it going? Hey, have you thought about this? Think about that for a second. A former president is calling into the White House, talking to the chief of staff and talking to other guys. Hey, I think we're going to be thinking about this. And he's the one that had two lunches, went to the White House twice in the last couple of months to tell Biden, yo, bro, this guy's going to kick your butt. You got to get focused here because Trump and MAGA are coming. And what's the linchpin of all this? One of the connective tissues is, hey, Judge, suck on this. It's Matthew Colangelo, a civil rights division hack, political operative apparatchik in the Justice Department, an Obama pick. okay? And now he's up. He just kind of felt his part of his career, he should just go and help out Eric Adams and Bragg and Letitia Big Tish James. Come on, dude. This whole thing's wired. Totally wired. Hardwired. Next in the war room. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out, higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
A new gag order just ahead of his first criminal trial. The judge overseeing Trump's hush money case taking the action just a little while ago after reviewing Trump's public statements during some of his other legal battles. We're joined now by CNN senior justice correspondent Evan Perez, along with former federal prosecutor Ankush Kardori. Evan, what does this mean for Trump?
Well, Wolf, it means that he has to watch what he says. You know, the judge pointed out that there was an uncontested record, he said, and that it establishes a sufficient risk to the administration of justice. And what he was doing is not only referencing the previous statements of the former president in some of his other legal cases, but he was paying close attention after yesterday's hearing, where the former president went and spoke to the media at 40 Wall Street. I'll read you some of what the judge wrote. He says his statements were threatening, inflammatory, denigrating, and the targets of his statements ranged from local and federal officials, court and court staff, prosecutors and staff assigned to the cases, and private individuals, including grand jurors, performing their civic duty. He raised a particular concern about witnesses. Well, of course, that includes Stormy Daniels, who this case revolves around, and, of course, Michael Cohen, who the former president has repeatedly attacked. The judge goes on to say, notably, within hours of the court appearance on March 25th, setting the trial date of April 15, 2024, the defendant targeted an individual prosecutor assigned to this case. That's Matthew Colangelo, who is a prosecutor who's been leading this case. The clear implication here is that he has to cease his attacks against people like Matthew Colangelo. He can, however, attack the judge and the district attorney, Alvin Bragg.
Whoa, the name that shall not be named was named. Mike Davis joins us. Mike Davis, you broke this about a year ago. And they're scrambling from this. The judge, this is the entire reason, not just Stormy Daniels. This is the reason the gag order is on there. Because Trump came to the sticks and basically used the content provided by Garrett Ziegler, Mike Davis, and the War Room to make a mention of this. And now we have today, I want to go back, if Real America's Voice, this has been 1,000% validated by the New York Times this morning. Katie Rogers, one of their better reporters. She's got a blockbuster story out there that Obama's running the deal. He had 2 sit-downs with Biden, because he's always thought Biden's like the idiot uncle, right? The whole story talks about how he didn't warm to Biden. Remember, they put Biden on top of him as a neoliberal neocon when he beat Clinton. Obama was a little too populist, a little too anti-war. They had to straighten that out, right? Particularly in the collapse that came in the financial markets brought on by the easy money overlords on Wall Street. They had to make sure they bailed out the wealthy. They bailed out Goldman Sachs and GE and all that, and they needed Biden. From Delaware, just randomly from the corporate capital of America. All the post office boxes are up there because they got a federal court that they work the refs on. So today in the New York Times, Katie Rogers says, hey, the 2 lunches that Biden's so thick and so arrogant And because Obama knows they stole it in 2020. And Biden knows it too, but he won't admit it. So after two lunches that don't work, Obama's directly calling the staff and telling them what to do. And now they're going to have joint, you know, they're going to kick off a campaign. This is a Biden, because this is Obama's third term. Mike, the power of what you brought up a year ago is that this is an Obama appointee. This guy's in the system. That's why he's up there. This hardwires, Colangelo hardwires the Justice Department, the Civil Rights Division, the White House, and Obama directly into the persecution. That's what is the persecution of Trump. And hey, sorry, Judge, this is called the United States of America, and this is First Amendment, and we're going to rub the nation's nose in the fact, and particularly Big Tish James and that crowd up there, we're going to rub their nose in the fact that this is not their deal. This is Obama and Biden and Merrick Garland's and the White House deal. Mike Davis, your thoughts.
Well, I would say, first of all, to this Democrats, Manhattan Judge Juan Merchan, there's no way in hell you're going to get Americans like me. And I'm going to get out there every day and talk about Matthew Colangelo. Matthew Colangelo was the political operative sent from the number three office in the Biden Justice Department to resurrect this zombie case against President Trump, the first indictment ever against a former president who happens to be the current president's leading presidential rival. And Matthew Colangelo started off working for Tom Perez in the Civil Rights Division in the Obama Justice Department. And then Matthew Colangelo went to work for Tom Perez when Tom Perez became President Obama's labor secretary. And then when President Obama made Tom Perez the DNC chair, Matthew Colangelo went to work in the Obama White House doing labor union relations. And then Matthew Colangelo went to work in the New York Attorney General's office. They created a bogus deputy attorney general position for him, essentially the deputy attorney general for DEI and labor relations. And then Matthew Colangelo joined the Biden Justice Department. He was a key person on the parachute team. He was the acting number three, the acting associate attorney general, which is a huge job that oversees the entire civil litigating divisions of the Justice Department, the Civil Division, the Civil Rights Division, the Tax Division, the Antitrust Division, the Environment Division, on and on and on. And then when Vinita Gupta, a hard-charging leftist, became the Associate Attorney General when she was confirmed on essentially a near party-line vote, Matthew Colangelo became the number two to the number three, a key job. Neil Gorsuch used to have that job. It's a very important job in the Justice Department. You're essentially running the day-to-day operations of all the civil lawsuits by the federal government in the Justice Department. And then Matthew Colangelo got sent to New York because there was this zombie.
But hold it. Slow down. Whoa. Stop. Slow down, because non-lawyers, I want to make sure everybody understands this. Go back. This is so essential. Gag this, baby. This is so essential. Gorsuch is not simply on the Supreme Court, as you saw even from the hearing yesterday. He's like becoming the Mac Daddy on the Supreme Court, right? As we knew he would, because he's so brilliant. So that guy was, they knew that he had a future in front of him. Go back and talk about this billet. You only put players in that billet, right? Talk about that billet that Gorsuch had, that Colangelo had. I mean, Colangelo is not just some marginal character. Colangelo is a player inside the apparatus. This is how you talk about the administrative state and the deep state. This is how it rolls. This is why do you think we're training up the 3,000, you know, 15,000, but the 3,000 hit the beach. Those are the people that make the system work. And over at Justice, which is a rat's nest, this is the way, reason the Justice Department is coming. Talk about that billet, how important it is. Gorsuch had it, and then Colangelo had it.
Yeah, so there's the Attorney General, who's number one at the Justice Department, the Deputy Attorney General, who is number two. That generally how it works, or at least it worked in the Bush 43 Justice Department when Gorsuch was there, is generally the Deputy Attorney General, he oversees the whole department, but he really focuses on the criminal side of the House, the FBI, the Criminal Division, the National Security Division, places like that. The Associate Attorney General is the number three in the Justice Department, and that is the person who is in charge of all the civil side, all the civil litigating divisions, tax, civil rights, civil, the environment, Office of Justice programs, which are all the federal grants that come out of the Justice Department Office for Victims of Crime, Violence Against Women. It's a huge portfolio. And the Associate Attorney General is the Senate confirmed number three official in the department. The Deputy Associate Attorney General is actually the Principal Deputy Associate Attorney General, which is what Matthew Colangelo was before he went to Soros-funded Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's office to resuscitate that zombie case against Trump. Matthew Colangelo had the number two to the number three job, the Principal Deputy Associate Attorney General. That is the same job that my former boss, Neil Gorsuch, had in the Bush 43 Justice Department. It is a really, really important job, right? You're essentially the chief of staff or the chief. You're basically the lead staffer for all the litigating divisions, the day-to-day decision maker.
Exactly. This is why Obama having been put there, because Obama, those guys are good about picking. They're cunning. These people are hammers. They're hammers. They're evil, but they're hammers. This is why they selected Colangelo to go up and to babysit Tish James and Bragg in that crowd. They didn't trust him to get it done. This is why the thing had been kicked down and been ridiculous. Colangelo is the brains of the operation. He gets seconded up there, and all of a sudden things start to happen, correct? This is the guy. It's hard. Why? Obama's been smart enough to know that Biden himself can't beat Trump. He's going to need something. He's going to need lawfare to do it. Mike Davis.
Yeah, I mean, when I worked in the Bush 43 White House, I worked on political appointments, and that's how I got to know Neil Gorsuch. You know, before he became a judge, before he became a justice. And I helped put him in that key job because I knew how crucial that role is. That number two to the number three in the Justice Department is a critical role. And Matthew Colangelo had that critical role in the Justice Department. He has been a Democrat operative. He's been an Obama appointee. He's been a Biden appointee. Remember with this case up in New York, the Soros-funded Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's case. Bragg's a buffoon. They needed Colangelo up there because they know that Bragg's a buffoon, right? And so they sent him up there to resurrect the zombie case against Trump. It is what they've done is they've take what are bookkeeping misdemeanors under New York law at best, where, you know, Trump is settling a nuisance claim like businessmen do all the time. They've turned what are at best bookkeeping misdemeanors, which I don't even think they're bookkeeping misdemeanors, but at best they're bookkeeping misdemeanors where the statute of limitations has long expired, and they've come up with this bogus legal theory, bootstrapping on federal election violations, alleged violations, and trying to transform what would be expired misdemeanors into numerous felony charges. The prior Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, passed over this legal theory, declined to bring charges under this legal theory. The Manhattan U.S. attorney declined. The Federal Election Commission declined. Alvin Bragg himself declined. It wasn't until Matthew Colangelo got deployed from the Biden Justice
Department. Shows up. Hang on. We're going to go connect some more dots here. Because you see, they're panicked on Trump. Absolutely stone cold panic. And now Obama has pulled back the veil. Obama's all in. That's okay, baby. Let's do it. Trump v. Obama. I got it. Next. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
syndicate, and it's entitled America's Year of Living Dangerously. And you write in part, quote, the near future consists of three distinct phases, each with its own challenges and dangers. The first phase, already underway and will continue through Election Day, November 5th. The problem is already in plain sight. With politics taking priority over policy, it has become nearly impossible to enact important legislation. The second distinct set of challenges will follow Election Day. The peaceful transfer of power, a hallmark of the American system, can no longer be assumed. The 75-day window between election and inauguration could well become the most perilous phase of a dangerous year. And the third and final challenge will begin early next year on Inauguration Day. If Biden is reelected, much will depend on whether his election is accepted by Trump supporters and on which party controls the Senate and the House. And Richard, I guess it's a, I don't know, it's probably close, but what worries you the most about these three phases that you say are fraught with danger?
What worries me the most, Meek, is the 75-day phase between Election Day and Inauguration Day. Now, you know, before the election, after the inauguration, the real challenge is dysfunction. But I'm worried about potential for real constitutional and political crisis and violence if we have a situation where the election isn't accepted, where there's challenges to the Electoral College. That's what we saw January 6th. I think it's possible that we could see a reprise of it, and we should worry about that. Again, one of the basic norms in American history. That used to be.
Okay, Richard Haass, we've seen the chaos in this country, the anarchy in this country. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. You stole the 2020 election. You know who knows that? Obama knows that. That's why he's calling this sad sack you got in the White House right now that you selected and propped up and put in the White House. Why it's such a catastrophe for you. Why you've had to call. Why Obama's stepping in here. He understands what's going on. And it's a personified by what's going on in New York City right now. Personified by what's going on in New York City right now. This is hardwired to Obama, Obama's Justice Department, and Obama's third term. Obama, Obama, Obama. Obama's going to start campaigning with this guy. Their big kickoff thing is going to be Obama. This is Obama versus Trump. That's okay. We'll take on all comers. Bring the Clintons, bring Biden's apparatus, bring Obama, bring them all. Let's go. Let's throw down. We'll beat them all. The thing, Haass, you should be, it's you and your deep state bros that are putting up the resistance. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to turf all you guys out. Let me repeat this. You stole the 2020 election, and we're not going to let another one be stolen because we're not going to let you destroy this country. Look at this farce in New York City right now with President Trump. Mike Davis, this thing is like a commercial division bookkeeping deal that you would work out. If you had an issue, you would work out, and it'd be worked out years ago. They've taken this and done jujitsu to try to trump up. And all they're doing, understanding they don't have a case, they just want to parade Stormy Daniels out and Michael Cohen out and a couple of these other women out. They're now talking, the judge, I think, is allowed into Billy Bush. I don't know how Billy Bush plays in this. The whole Billy Bush situation, grab him by the whatever, locker room talk. I tell you one thing, yeah. Judge, hey, get ready. You're going to do that? Hey, you're going to do that? You're going to do with Steve Bannon, put that down in the debate when I brought the accusers that Bill Clinton had raped. Don't sit front row. You want to play ball? Hey, we got mics out front. Front row, Judge, front row is going to be everybody that Clinton raped. You like that? Maybe we'll bring the people that Biden, you know, all the heads Biden sniffed. We'll do that, too. We'll fight fire with fire here. We'll fight fire with fire. Let's go back to it. How is this hardwired again, Mike Davis? Because we're going to wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. And we're going to rub their nose in exactly what's going on up there, brother. What do we got?
Yeah, so this is part of the Democrats' lawfare and election interference. They impeached Trump twice for nonsense. They indicted him four times for nine crimes. They've illegally, unconstitutionally gagged Trump. If there's anyone on the planet who must have the constitutional right to speak out against the judge, the court staff, the prosecutor, his staff, the witnesses and the process. It is a criminal defendant going through a criminal process, particularly a criminal process that is rigged against that criminal defendant, Donald Trump. The Democrats are starting with their dumbest, weakest case with Matthew Colangelo, which I don't think the Democrats wanted to start with this case, but there are other cases by Jack Smith and Big Fannie Willis down in Georgia got a little bit derailed because of presidential immunity, as we've been talking about for months, and we got laughed at. And guess what? That trial is not going on right now in front of D.C. Obama Judge Tanya Shutkin. And Fannie Willis, you know, she sold her Fannie to her boyfriend. And so that case isn't going forward. So they're going forward with this sort-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, as their puppet. This guy is a total buffoon. And so they have to send this Matthew Colangelo from the Biden Justice Department to run the show. You know, Nathan Wade tried to run the show for Big Fannie. That didn't work out so well down in Georgia. This Matthew Colangelo is a killer, and he's going up there. He's like Jack Smith. He's like Jay Bratt. He's a killer, and he's going to go up there and try to destroy Trump. But this is going to backfire. This is going to backfire in the polls. It's going to propel Trump back to the White House.
Hold it. But that's what the judge, they know it's not going to backfire if they put a total gag order. They're going to try to keep Trump away from the sticks. That's what we're saying. Hey, sorry, First Amendment. We're going to expose every part of this. I just want to reiterate something. Colangelo's a killer. Obama's Justice Department, I mean, it started the transformation because they had, people may hate Eric Holder, they may hate all these guys, hate on them. But understand they're assassins. That's why they're in there. They train these people up well. This is like the Bolsheviks, man. They're not putting any second stringers in there. It's all first team. Mm-hmm. Colangelo's a killer. They don't succumb. They don't. The guy's not seconded up there if they didn't think he was a killer. He's a killer. And his target is Trump. Mm-hmm. This is a political assassination. And look at the witnesses they're going to call. This has something to do with a bookkeeping issue? Is that what this has to do with? No. They want to replay the whole thing about Trump and women. They want 6 weeks to 8 weeks to put it all up there, have Stormy down, have them all up there crying on the, you know, witness stand, all holding a Bible. They're going to be hugging a Bible, right? This is all, you know, these are all, you know, Vestal virgins. A whole crowd of Vestal virgins are going to come up there and cry about how awful Trump is, what a misogynist Trump is. The patriarchy is going to be on trial here. You know, you already see the narrative, right? Controlled by Obama and Holder and the puppet masters because they think Biden is too incompetent in this regard. So they got a killer up there. The other thing, too, people did laugh at you about Denver and about you said at the time this is total joke. They're taking the J6 thing was a joke and using it. It's going to get overturned. People were like, oh, Mike Davis is crazy. This is why Mike Davis can't be attorney general. Also, they laughed at you on the immunity. They ain't laughing now, are they, sir?
You know, I might be crazy, but I'm almost always right. And I would say this about going back to Donald Trump up in New York. I guess Steve Bannon and I are going to stop advocating for the canonization of St. Donald of Manhattan right after this case. But you know what? The American people already know President Trump. He's been in the public consciousness for 40 plus years. They know who he is, good or bad. These allegations, these bogus attacks, they're not going to stick. It's already baked into the expectations for Donald Trump. And so it's going to backfire on November 5th, 2024. These Democrat prosecutors and Democrat judges and Democrat operatives and Democrat attorneys and these Democrat hellholes like New York, D.C., and Atlanta, better lawyer up. Because guess what? There is a criminal conspiracy to interfere in the election. There's a criminal conspiracy to violate President Trump's civil rights, his top aides' civil rights like yours, Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro's, his attorneys' civil rights, his supporters' civil rights. This is a criminal conspiracy, what these Democrat prosecutors and judges and operatives are doing. This is there must be accountability for this.
Hold it. You just said the quiet part out loud. Richard Hot, this is what I want to go hit. Just rewind for a second, because this is what they're concerned about. They not in 1 billion light years did they ever think that Donald Trump would resurrect himself and come back from what they did to him in stealing the election and basically running him out of town on a rail in January of 2021. Not in a million years. They thought done deal. right? The Bush apparatus, the Karl Rove's, the Rupert Murdoch's, going to make him a non-person, right? He was in the non-person, not about disagreeing policy, non-person. They never thought he'd come back. He's coming back with a bigger coalition, more powerful, much more powerful than 16. And this is what they're completely freaked out about, because they understand Richard Haass. This is what you ought to be concerned about, Richard Haass. The day after we win, don't worry about your whole thing of being accepted. Hey, we're going to accept the victory. Fine. We'll take the victory. We'll take the win. OK. And then we're moving on to the second phase. We're going to start on the evening of the 5th of November after Trump, after the Associated Press declares him the victor. And what is that? What is that, Mike Davis, the Accountability Project? Just walk me through, because we have a criminal conspiracy right now inside the Justice Department, the White House, and now going all the way back to Barack Obama himself. Walk through how we're going to do some accountability on that.
Well, I think that I would recommend that there be a special counsel appointed to investigate this clear election interference by these Democrat operatives, these Democrat prosecutors and lawyers and judges. I would recommend that special counsel also look at the conspiracy to violate civil rights. You know, you're violating people's First Amendment rights here. You're violating their due process rights. You are putting people in prison, like Peter Navarro. They're trying to put you in prison, Steve Bannon, for 4 months for asserting constitutional executive privilege that we've had for 250 years going back to George Washington. So presidents can get candid advice from their advisors both inside the White House and outside of the White House without fear of being hauled before Congress or grand juries. And the Democrats destroyed this, right? And, you know, there has to be, in order to restore confidence in our legal system, there must be accountability. And the only thing that today's left, they're not liberals who love America and just disagree with conservatives on the best way to get there. These are leftists. These are Obama leftists. They're Marxists, and they don't respect free speech. They believe in censorship. They don't respect equality. They believe in equity. They don't respect due process. They believe in politicized and weaponized justice. And the only thing that they actually truly respect is power. And so unless you use power and give them a healthy dose of their own medicine, this is never going to end. I call it the dead chicken strategy. It's what we ran during the Kavanaugh fight when they came up with these six bogus allegations against Kavanaugh, essentially accusing him of running a serial gang rape ring in high school, which is complete nonsense. I see Christine Blasey Ford's popping her crazy face back up again to promote her book. I would just say this, remember, her own father didn't believe her, right? So Christine Blasey Ford should be put back in the padded cell. But, you know, there must be consequences, like we did with Kavanaugh. There were consequences. Four Senate Democrat incumbents got sent into early retirement. The Republicans picked up two Senate seats in 2018 when the Democrats won the House of Representatives. It should have been a bad year for Senate Republicans, but we turned lemons into lemonade. We ran the dead chicken strategy, and we're going to do the same thing again.
Amen.
In November.
Amen. Where did they get to you, Mike? I know you got a bouncer out there giving talks, conferences. Davis is everywhere. As the next U.S. Attorney General of the United States, Mike, where do they get you?
I'm going to be Trump's viceroy of D.C. because I don't like democracy. I want more authoritarian power. So it's at article3project.org, article3project.org, and I'm at MRDDMIA. I would like to quick call out to the Sun Valley Policy Forum, who has hosted me, hosted Jonathan Turley, and hopefully we can get Steve Bannon up here as well.
Let's get tell him I'm all in.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Your host, Stephen K. Bann.
So it's a 30-front war. Just, how do I say this? The our opposition, it's the $2 billion in cash. Their strategy is to bury Trump in these battleground states. And when I say battleground states, listen, it's 25 counties. Seth Kessler has taken a cut at this. He's got 30, but he adds Texas in there. We're going to go back and refine that, working with Captain Kessler and some other people, DeGrasse, and focus where the 25 counties where this will be decided. Their strategy is to use every power of the administrative and deep state, the lawfare aspects of it. Of course, their massive information warfare propaganda machine. These clowns don't even understand. They could have had with Ron McDaniel. This is how they just don't still get it. They had Lord Haha. She would have been up there, you know, like Michael Steele, every day trashing MAGA, trashing this. Just, she served it up right there. She got this. She goes, Biden's legitimate. Biden won fair and square. No, in fact, Biden's illegitimate. We know it. The American people know it. They absolutely know it. Look at the exit polls on Republicans alone. I think independents now are north of 40%. 40%. Think about that for a second. And we haven't had any apparatuses to do this. Nothing. War Room, Real America's Voice, a couple of others, right? A couple of other podcasts, a couple of other shows. One American News, they buried One American News. That's online now, I think. It's not a cable. I'm not a big fan of cable. I don't think the reach is really that great when you really look at the reality of it. But they're coming after him with money and lawfare, and they're going to try to use all these things like gag orders, all this kind of stuff. No. This is an all-out fight. We understand what New York's about. New York is going to roll out. Look at the witness list. They're going to roll out. Trump is the personification, the manifestation of the patriarchy, and the patriarchy is evil, inherently evil. They're going to have all these people. So they got to understand something. We had that on Billy Bush weekend. What did I do? We rounded up. We were already preparing it for putting up on Breitbart over that weekend. It just happened to be providential. Did you ever heard that word before? Providential. And we rolled out the people that Bill Clinton had raped or sexually abused. Not my words, theirs. And we rolled out the woman that Hillary Clinton had represented her rapist, her abuser, as a public defendant, and had trashed this woman. And this woman had some mental, I think, issues. Trashed her, of which she never got over. We rolled those out. How'd that work out for you, Hillary? Didn't work out well, did it? No. Fight fire with fire. These people are evil. They're demonic. They're destroying our country. Look at what they're doing right now in this invasion of the southern border and what's happening. You talk about replacement theory. Hey, African Americans, Hispanic American citizens, they're replacing you because you're getting too ornery. Your wages are too high. That's their plan, and they're open about it. They tell 60 Minutes about it. They go up to the Economic Club of Detroit. Powell sits there and tells you what he's going to do. They're doing it. We're going to have Epoch Times on today and Darren Beatty on at 5. Magnificent back to back. Epoch Times is talking about this whole thing of squatters and now how they're actually putting out videos on TikTok to tell the invaders how to take your homes. And Darren Beatty's got a great thing about Michigan. About how they're replacing African Americans and Hispanic citizens up there. This is why Michigan he's 8 points down. Their comeback's all about, they say, oh, he's tying, he's back in, he's back relevant, it's all tying. It's all about the State of the Union and the media being the media being the propaganda arm of it. They're the propaganda arm. These people are the smart operatives. The apparatchiks in the Democratic Party, you never see a lot of those. You never hear them because they're just functionaries. It's the lords of easy money on Wall Street. It's the corporatists. It's the sociopathic overlords in Silicon Valley. Those are the paymasters. They get things done. And then you got these sophisticated media arms. And they're sophisticated on propaganda and information warfare. We're not going to sit there and tolerate it. We're a group of insurgents. This is an insurgency, and they can't put it down. They're not going to put it down. President Trump right now is the greatest comeback in American political history with no weapons at his disposal. Heck, huge story that Qatar, and Qatar is the font of all evil. I have said this a gazillion times to give speeches on it. Qatar's the font of all evil in the Middle East. It's the terror finance area. We knew that when we first went to Riyadh that time. The only guys that stiffed us on the memorandum of understanding on terror financing was Qatar. And I don't care how much billions of dollars they put in for the air base. That's all the Cheney Uniparty dealing with these guys, taking their money, taking Arab money, taking it through Qatar. Qatar, the bad dudes, right? And so look at the apparatuses that are not the look at the platforms that are never talked about, election interference or stealing elections. I think it would be the top two cable channels, be Fox News and be Newsmax. Well, hey, we're talking about it. We're talking about what the reality was. It was stolen, and they're trying to steal it again. Their number one thing they think they use as election interference is keep Trump from campaigning and suck. It's an opportunity cost of time and of money. Make Trump spend $100 million or more on lawyers. Take his attention away. These guys sit in meetings with lawyers all day and think this stuff through. He can't be on the campaign trail selling the rise of MAGA, selling the rise of Trumpism. This is completely and totally rigged, but we get that. It's a rigged game. Okay, we're going to expose how it's rigged so average Americans can see it. Why do you think the articles are talking about that Democrats, working class Democrats, are warming, that's the headline, warming to Trump? They understand the game is fixed. Wall Street, Silicon Valley, the corporatist, and all the wealthy billionaires in their foundation, it's fixed. It's fixed against the American citizen. And now they understand that we're not separated. We're united in that. And that's what they would, any cost, the Uniparty and their paymasters will stop at any cost. They don't care about any law. They don't care about any custom and tradition. They don't. And here's why. Mike Davis just said the quiet part aloud. On the evening after we've won, the accountability project's going to start. And it's going to be thorough this time. It's going to be deep. It's going to be meaningful, right? And it's not going to be the Peter Navarres of the world that are going to be in prison. It's going to be they're going to be in prison. Yes, prison. Because that's where they deserve to be for trying to destroy this country, the greatest republic, the greatest nation, the greatest republic in the history of mankind. I think I just made the case for turbulence. It's going to be turbulent. We're not going to pat each other on the head. They hate us and we hate them. Let's be just blunt about it. Okay? This is why you need to go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team about turbulence and precious metals, the correlation between them. That's why gold hits a record every couple of days. Check it out. 90 seconds, we're back. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts.
Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.